I think our society doesn't really know how to deal with death. And I think that we are so far removed from the process of death that it's easy in some ways for us to kind of ignore that it's even a thing until somebody you know passes away. Death has been so hard and so painful for me to witness and to experience, but it's been one of my biggest teachers. Let it teach you that this moment is fleeting, this life is fleeting, but what are you gonna do while you're here? Hello, and welcome to the We Are the Medicine podcast. This podcast is a place where we discuss a wide variety of topics, from psychedelics and other plant medicines to sovereignty and spirituality. This is a space where we have raw and vulnerable conversations and explore the mysteries of our universe with the intention of empowering listeners and guiding you to ask the questions that will help you come into a deeper resonance with your truest essence. I'm your host, Serena Rose. Now let's get into the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today, I am back with another solo episode. This one's going to be a little bit of a life update, and I also want to get into a really important conversation about death and grief and the problems that I see in our society. The way that we treat death, the way that we process death, and just share with you some of my experiences recently. And I'll be honest with you guys, I have a lot of resistance to recording this episode. I've been thinking about recording this for a couple weeks now, since some events happened in my life, and I feel like there's a lot of lessons that I could share with you all, but it feels a little scary because it still feels tender for me. I have not really been wanting to share on social media very much or anything. And so, it's just kind of hard to put into words the things that I've experienced, but I'm going to do my best because I had another podcast scheduled to record today, and that got rescheduled, and I was already prepared to record, so I figured I might as well go ahead and record this solo episode. So this is me pushing through the resistance and the fear and the nervousness to come on and talk to you all and share what the fuck has been going on in my life. So I put a little microdose in my morning cacao this morning. Felt like I could probably use the support, and I'm hoping that was a good idea. But anyway, so on July 14th, which is about a week and a half ago to the date that I'm recording this, my cat, Gypsy, passed away, and man, it's been such a crazy journey. I had her for 7 years of my life, and she was my best friend in so many ways, and a lot of people who don't have pets or don't form a close bond with their pets may not understand. But it really is like losing a member of your family. So thank you to those of you who do understand. And even if you don't personally understand, I appreciate your compassion. So I feel like in order to really paint this picture and tell this story for you all, I need to take you back a few years. Because I've had a lot of experiences in my life related to death and people close to me dying. I guess it all really started for me when I was in high school. When I was around 15, my cousin was murdered. and that was the first really deep experience I had with death and grief and loss. And then fast forward to 2017, my birth father passed away. He was in prison at the time, and he passed away 52 days before he was supposed to be released. And so that was very challenging, especially because I didn't really talk to him for the last few months of his life. And then a few months after my birth father's passing, my maternal grandmother passed away. And that was 2018. And that was at like the beginning of 2018 that my grandmother passed away. And then in the fall of 2018, I was doing a lot of healing work. I was really diving into my mother wound. And at this time, my mother was also going through a really challenging time in her life. And we were talking on the phone a lot, and I was doing my best to support her through the challenges that she was facing. But that became very difficult because my mother was very narcissistic and very immersed in victimhood. And in November of 2018, I made the difficult decision to not speak to my mom anymore. And around 9 months later, my mom passed away. And so it was just, I don't know if I need to go into the whole story right now. I think that could just honestly be another episode in itself. But I just want to paint the picture for you all of like these experiences that I've had in my life that have led up to this current moment. And why these things are very like deep and sensitive for me. But so yeah, I didn't speak to my mom for 9 months, and I actually called her on her birthday, and she didn't answer. And I was like, what the hell, you know? I had been receiving a lot of pressure from my dad, technically my stepdad, but to call her for many months, and I did not want to. It was not, I couldn't do it, you know? And finally, I called her on her birthday. She didn't answer. I was like, what the fuck? I thought she was mad at me, and didn't hear anything from her. And I, you know, asked my dad, like, have you heard from her? She didn't answer for him either. Almost a week passed by. That was on a Sunday. And the following Friday, I get a call from my dad while I'm at work, telling me that my mom had passed away. And the last time that anyone had seen or spoke to her was the night before her birthday. So she passed away like the night before or the morning of her birthday. And then I called her on her birthday. So as you can imagine, that was really, really rough to go through, having not spoken to her for 9 months. And then I finally make the decision to reach out and call her, and it was too late. Although even in the moment when I received that call from my dad, I felt like it was meant to be that way in some way, like I wasn't meant to maintain or have any more contact with her. But nonetheless, it was really, really difficult. So that was 2019 when my mom passed away. And then fast forward to 2021. So at this point, it's like every year or every other year, I'm like experiencing some sort of just tragic death experience. And not to mention, I was, especially in like 2018, 2019, I was going through a lot of other stuff. Let's just put it there. Anyway, 2021 comes around, and my dad passes away. I call him my dad, but he's technically my stepdad, but I was closer with him than I ever was with my birth father. So if you hear me refer to my dad, I'm talking about my stepdad, but I don't call him stepdad. Anyway, so he passed away around April 2021 from a heart attack, and it was sudden in some ways. It was unexpected and sudden in some ways, but also after my mom passed away in 2019, my dad, he was never the same after that. He was kind of like a shell of himself. It was really hard to even have a conversation with him because he was just numb. Like, he would just stare blankly into space. Like, he was kind of just not there. Like, it felt like a piece of him died with her. Anyway, so yes, he passed away in 2021. And that was really hard because he was the only parental figure that I had left on this earth at the time. And he was the parent that I felt the closest connection with. Even though he wasn't related to me by blood, he always, like, I felt so much more love from him than I felt from any of the other parental figures in my life. So that was really difficult. This is hard to talk about, honestly. There's a part of me that is worried that people are gonna listen to this and feel like, oh my God, here you are just complaining about all the horrible things you've been through in your life. And that's not my intention at all. I've really had to work through a lot of my inner victimhood, and still do, but I'm not just coming on here to whine and tell you about how sad my life has been. I'm really just trying to paint this picture for you all so you can understand these experiences that I've had that have, like, been traumatic in a way, and have also taught me a lot in regards to death and life and all of the things. So those 5 years from 2017 to 2021 were some of the hardest fucking years of my life. Really hard. And then let's move forward to Gypsy, my cat. If you're passionate about natural healing like I am, if you like to work with herbs, making herbal concoctions and infusions and just doing a bunch of witchy goddess shit, but you're looking for somewhere to source high quality herbs in bulk, then look no further than Star West Botanicals. Star West Botanicals is your online supply source for bulk herbs and natural products. They have a wide selection of nearly 3,000 natural products such as organic bulk herbs, spices, loose leaf teas, essential oils, and aromatherapy supplies. They also have all the tools you need to make your own herbal products such as tinctures, capsules, body butters, and more. But if you don't feel like making them yourself, Star West Botanicals also has their very own line of herbal products such as herbal tinctures, infused oils, flower waters, and so much more. I love getting my herbs from Star West Botanicals because they really put an emphasis on finding the most high quality products that they can, and I really love making my herbal remedies with their products from their store. So if you're interested in getting some amazing organic herbs, natural supplements, tinctures to support you in your healing journey, you can find them by clicking the link in the show notes and checking out their store. Thank you so much for listening to this ad and supporting this podcast. And now let's get back to the show. I got Gypsy in early 2017. Actually, it's kind of funny to think about the timing of everything. I wasn't looking for a cat, actually. She kind of came to me. I ended up renting a room in this coworker's apartment, and she was like, hey, I have this cat that I don't want anymore. do you want her? And I was like, sure, I love cats. I could use a friend. I had just gone through a really difficult breakup. So I'm like, yeah. And when I got her, she's a calico, and calicos are widely known for being very sassy. And she was definitely sassy. She was kind of mean when I first got her, especially. And her previous owner told me that she was such a bitch. Her words, not mine. And I saw a lot of myself in Gypsy, in this cat. And I came to this realization one day that she wasn't a bitch. She really just needed love. And so I was patient with her. I never tried to force myself onto her. I, you know, just gave her as much love as I could. And slowly but surely, she warmed up to me. She started laying on the bed with me. I still remember the first time she laid on my chest, and it was just such an honor, you know, because she wasn't like that with most people. She was really special to me, and we really developed a close bond because she came to me in a time where I felt really lost. I was really in a dark place in my life. I didn't really know who I was. I was trying to figure myself out after this breakup. And then later that year, my birth father passes away. And so Gypsy, my cat, was the one being that was a constant for me in all of these years since 2017. She was steady. She was always there, right? You know, through all of the loss that I experienced, she was there and she supported me and she held me. Like, it sounds crazy to some people, I'm sure, but like, I would be just devastated, breaking down, crying, and she would always know when I was not okay, and she would come and lay next to me and like snuggle up next to me and, you know, come and lay on my chest and all these things. And she always knew when I was having a hard time. She was really there to support me in so many moments when I felt like I didn't have anyone. And I'm so grateful to her for that. We went through so much together. We moved from New York City to Arizona and then eventually to Austin, where I live now. And man, we just had so many adventures. And she was there through so many different, like, transitional moments. And she was always, like I said, she was like my rock. She was the one constant that I had in my life. And I do have another cat, Bailey, by the way, which I got him in 2018. And I feel the same way about him in many ways. But it's just different relationships, you know. And we're talking about Gypsy right now. Anyway, so a year ago, last year in 2023, in like maybe February, March, we noticed that Gypsy had a big, hard lump on her leg. And it kind of came out of nowhere. It was like, where did this come from? How did we not notice this? So I took her to the vet as soon as I could, and she was diagnosed with what they call an injection site fibrosarcoma, which is one of the most aggressive forms of cancer, from what I understand, from what I've been told in the research that I've done. And also, you know, it's called an injection site sarcoma because it was developed because of a vaccine. And this is not my opinion. I did not make this up. I was told this by two different veterinarians and the veterinary oncologist. And I'm not intending this to be, you know, to get into a conversation about vaccines and all of that shit. But, you know, do with that information what you would like. So I was told by the first veterinarian that I took her to that the treatment for this would be they would have to amputate her leg. and then she would probably have to go through chemotherapy and radiation. And the vet said, even if I do all of that, she might only live another year. And as you can imagine, that was really hard news to take. And I went and got a second opinion, all these things, and eventually decided to move forward with the leg amputation surgery. Thank God I had really good pet insurance. This is definitely not sponsored, but I have Trupanion, which is a good pet insurance to have if you... It's good for, like, major things, like surgeries and things like that. It's not... They don't cover annual checkups or anything like that, but if you ever have, like, a major problem with your pet, they do a really good job of covering those things. So I was able to get a lot of the surgery and the treatment covered with the insurance, thank God, because I would not have been able to pay for it otherwise. So we moved forward with the leg amputation surgery. And that was really hard to go through because it was just hard to see her like that, you know, like after the surgery, half of her body was shaved and it was a little bit traumatic. You know, it was hard to watch her, but I loved her and I felt like she still wanted to live. You know, she didn't act, even with the giant tumor on her leg and everything, she didn't act like a cat who was dying. She still had a lot of desire to play and to go outside and to enjoy her life. And so I intuitively felt like she still wants to live. So we got her the surgery and she had to kind of learn how to walk again in a way, like, you know, how to walk on three legs. And it was, she would do this funny thing where she would kind of run backwards and like rev herself up before she could move forward. And that lasted for a couple months until she finally got the hang of walking and her hair all grew back and she seemed like a brand new cat. She seemed almost completely normal. And I was like, wow, like she's back to normal, you know, because before the surgery, she was very low energy, just like she was still playful and things, but she had very little energy. It was hard to get her to eat and things like that. So she seemed good. And, you know, the oncologist recommended moving forward with some kind of chemotherapy or radiation. And I just felt like it had already been so much for her and for all of us. It was very hard. It was very emotionally taxing. And I also had kind of run out of finances at that point to be able to continue treatment. But also, even if I had the finances, I don't know if I would have gone through with chemo or radiation, because the thought that I had was, if these are the last months or years or whatever of her life, I don't want her to have to spend them going through more treatment and suffering and pain. Like, I want her to be able to enjoy the last years or months of her life. And so I made that decision to not move forward with any more treatment. And for many, many months, Gypsy was perfectly normal in so many ways. And then a few months ago, this year, maybe like April, May, she started having this like wheezing sound. They seemed like asthma attacks, so we thought maybe she had allergies or asthma or something. Anyway, took her into the vet. Eventually was able to get an x-ray, and the vet said that they found nodules, is what they call them, on her lungs, which was most likely a result of the cancer spreading. So that was hard. I was really fucked up from that. it was tough to hear that, because I kind of had this knowing, like, if the cancer comes back, it's probably going to take her out, you know? And so they recommended for us to euthanize her. And that kind of opens up a whole other conversation, which I want to get into, because I don't know if it's really my style, or at least this is what I was telling myself. Like, I don't know if it's really, like, I couldn't imagine paying someone to kill my cat. It was hard to fathom that, right? And I also started thinking and just pondering it and thinking how, you know, they say that euthanasia is one of the most compassionate or humane ways to deal with an animal who is suffering and who, you know, there's no further treatment that can be done. And I definitely understand that. But I was just thinking, like, it's actually illegal to do that to a human, which is interesting, right? Like, if a human has cancer and they're stage four and there's no, like, they're on their way out the door and there's nothing else that can be done for them, it's illegal to kill them, you know, even in a medical way. They try to do everything they can for a person, right? So I just found that interesting. And this is, like, absolutely no judgment towards anyone who chooses to euthanize their animals. To be honest, by the end of everything, I kind of wished that I had. I don't know what I would do. Like, if I could do it over again, maybe I would, or maybe it happened the way it was meant to. But the way that I thought of it was, I want this to be Gypsy's choice. You know, I want her to decide when is her time. I honestly didn't want to have to make that decision. I also had a trip planned to go to Costa Rica early mid-July, to assist at a retreat for ayahuasca. And to be honest, when we got the news of the Gypsy's cancer coming back after the x-ray, I honestly didn't think she was going to make it till then. I didn't even think about what would happen if I have to go to Costa Rica and she's here. But she did. And I mean, by that point, by the time I had to leave for Costa Rica, she was already, like, getting her, her health was declining significantly. She was not eating, so we were feeding her through a syringe. And we were also trying to give her these herbal supplements and these things. My partner works with this company who makes natural supplements, and a lot of people and animals have actually healed and recovered from cancer and many other diseases with these supplements. So we were giving her these supplements. We were feeding her through a syringe, and that was exhausting. Mentally, emotionally, and honestly, it was hard to see her like that, and it was hard to have to, like, force feed her, you know, in so many ways. But we were hoping that if the supplements can just help her enough, then she can want to eat on her own again, right? We definitely weren't planning to feed her through a syringe forever. So I left to go to Costa Rica, and I had so many mixed feelings about leaving because I knew what could potentially happen. I knew that Gypsy was already not in the best state, and a part of me really didn't want to leave, but I made a commitment to help at this retreat, and it's also my friend, a close friend of mine, who runs the retreat, and I would never just, like, go back on my word like that. I would never cancel last minute unless it was a real emergency kind of situation. And in many ways, this could be considered that, but I also wanted to go because it was my first time back at the place where I first sat with ayahuasca with the same teachers that I first sat with. And it was a big full circle moment. And I wanted to go and experience that. And so I just prayed that Gypsy would make it, at least until I got back. I was scheduled to be in Costa Rica for 10 days. And man, it was so hard to leave her. And it was so hard even being there, like, just thinking about her so much. And, you know, definitely had a few emotional breakdowns while in Costa Rica because it was just hard, you know? This kind of ties into my ayahuasca journey, which I do want to tell you a little bit about, because what I can remember of it anyway, it was a lot. Because obviously I'm going through this, so I'm processing it. We had 3 nights of the medicine, and every night I went through a process around Gypsy, around death. And just in general, I forgot to mention this, that the whole journey of Gypsy's cancer, even from the beginning, really brought up a lot for me, brought up a lot of grief for me, a lot of feelings of loss, and just from all of the deaths that I've experienced, especially with my parents, you know, it was hard. It was really hard. Like, I can't even explain to you how many tears I have cried in this last, like, year and a half since this happened. Anyway, so my ayahuasca journey also was a very deep but gentle. The medicine's so intelligent. She knew that I was really nervous to go into the medicine this time, because I had been fucking going through it, breaking down like nearly every day, multiple times a day, some days like just crying, just distraught, just at a loss, like devastated. And I went into the retreat pretty emotionally depleted already. So I was like, man, Madre Ayahuasca, please be gentle with me. I'm struggling in life right now, okay? And so she was. And I feel like those times really helped me to build a lot of trust with the medicine, because it's like, okay, like she knows where I'm at and what I need. And all the processes, all the whole 3 nights was very gentle overall. Anyhoozle, so, especially on the third night. So the third night we had an overnight ceremony where we started late, like 11 p.m. and stayed in ceremony until the sun came up, which was so beautiful, by the way. But, I had this experience where I was laying down and I saw Gypsy. It was like I saw her spirit like moving up towards the light. And I was just crying and I was processing and I was grieving and I was thinking, like, I don't want her to go. Like, I don't want her to leave, you know? And then it was kind of crazy. It felt like I went to like the void, and then like I sat up. I sat in my chair. I had a chair. I sat in the chair and I was crying and like grieving and processing, and I purged. And then after that, I'm chill now, right? Went through my process. I'm good. Well, for the most part at this point. And I'm just looking at the altar and I'm feeling like, I don't know what just happened, but I feel really different. And I still, to this, I can't fully say what happened. I know, I'll say that I forgot to mention that the medicine told me, just lie down, we're gonna do some physical adjustments, right? And I could feel, before I had that experience, it was like when I was having the experience of being in the void, kind of, I could feel my brain felt like it was expanding, like it felt like it was growing to the point where I was like, is my head gonna explode? Thankfully my head did not explode. I'm still here, if you were wondering. So, man, I think this episode's getting longer than I intended, but apparently I did not know what I was gonna say, and apparently I had more to say than I thought. So we'll just roll with it. Okay, so after that experience, like, I just felt different, and I was like, I don't know what's different, but I feel like something's different, and I still feel really different. Like, I feel the same in a lot of ways, but I feel really different, and I can't really put my finger on what it is. Anyway, fast forward, the ceremony ends, everyone's dancing and like laughing and having a great time. Like it's the end of the ceremony, we're celebrating. And I danced a little bit and I just felt so fucking sad. I just couldn't keep dancing. I like went off to the edge of where there's like this grassy area and I just fucking cried. I just bawled my eyes out, like just thinking about Gypsy. I prayed with some tobacco for her and it was just like this feeling I couldn't shake it. And so it was early in the morning at this point, like 6-7 a.m. I'm texting my partner like, hey, like, can you call me when you wake up? I want to see Gypsy. I want to see you, right? And I just, it was this overwhelming feeling of like, I want to be there with her. I need to be there with her. And so when my partner woke up, he called me, we FaceTimed, and I got to see Gypsy, and she was like, honestly, she was in a really bad state. He said that she hadn't been really able to walk very much on her own, so he was having to carry her everywhere. He was still feeding her through the syringe. He was having to carry her to the litter box and all these things. And she didn't look good. Like, she could barely move. She barely had the energy to lift her head up. She had just this, like, blank stare in her eyes. And it was like she was already halfway gone, in a way. It was really sad to see. And I just felt this urgency of, like, I need to get home. I need to go home. Like, I cannot be here. Like, I was supposed to stay. This was on a Saturday, right? Yeah. This was on a Saturday that the last ceremony ended. And I was supposed to stay until Tuesday. And I was like, I gotta go home. Like, so I figured out how to change my flight to Sunday, which was like the earliest that I could get a flight. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna come home tomorrow, like, just praying, like, Gypsy, like, hold on till I get home. And so I wake up the next day on Sunday to a text from my partner, Roy, that Gypsy didn't make it through the night. And that was really fucking hard. You know, I really tried to make it home in time. But I couldn't, you know? And so I went through my flight that day. That was hard. My flight after the layover got delayed like 3 times. I'm here sitting in the fucking chapel at the Houston airport. Did you know that there's a chapel at the Houston airport? I'm sitting in the chapel just crying, talking to Roy because I needed to be alone as much as possible. And anyway, so I finally made it home and I got to see her body, and that was I'm glad that I got to see her body. You know, it felt strange in a lot of ways, but it also just, like, it's an interesting thing seeing a dead body, especially of someone that you love, right? And seeing the body and seeing that they're not there anymore. It's this interesting thing of, like, this was you, but it's not you anymore. And just to finish that loop, we ended up burying her in a beautiful area where there's like this big oak tree and it's next to a field of wildflowers. And we prayed to her and thanked her and cried and gave her offerings of tobacco and roses and, you know, buried her and gave her body back to the earth, which is what I wanted to do for her. And I'm really, really, really glad that I got to do that because it felt good. Like, it felt cathartic. It felt like closure to have that closing ceremony and to just give her a final resting place in such a beautiful, beautiful place. But a big part of what I wanted to discuss in this episode was, you know, just as I'm sitting here looking at my cat's body that no longer has her spirit in it, I just can't help but think how we as humans in our society, we are kind of robbed of this experience of death, right? And to some people, it may sound really grim and really strange and dark, but honestly, I think that it was really healing for me to see her body like that, to see her body without her spirit in it anymore, because it gave me a deeper understanding in a way of the impermanence of this body and a deeper trust of the infiniteness of the spirit. And I just feel like the way that our society deals with death in general, we're very disconnected. We're very disconnected from the sacredness of birth, and we're also very disconnected from the sacredness of death. We oftentimes try to avoid it as much as possible. You know, it's like there's a whole thing with like legalities and all this shit. You know, like I personally believe that our bodies are meant to go back to the earth, that our bodies are meant to bring nutrients and to give life to the soil and the plants, and the mycelium are meant to come and decompose our bodies and give life back to the earth. I believe that that is the natural cycle of life and death, right? The earth gives us life. We take from the earth plants and animals and things to nourish ourselves. And then when it's our time, when the body is no longer needed and the spirit leaves, I believe that the body is meant to go back to the earth to nourish the earth in this beautiful cycle, right? But it's actually, if I'm correct, I'm pretty sure it's illegal to do that. It's illegal to just bury, like if your cousin dies or something, right? It's illegal to bury them in your backyard, which to some extent I can understand. Like, you know, there is like safety, like sanitary things that you have to keep in mind, and that is valid. I think that, so I don't think there's anything wrong with having some sort of regulations, but I also think that everything's just very controlled, right? If you have a family member that passes away, you have to go through a funeral home. Like, legally, you have to go through a funeral home to either get them cremated or to have, you know, a casket type of funeral. And it's also crazy that when you, even when you bury a human who's passed away, they are embalmed, which is like a way of preserving the body forever, like in a way. I don't think it lasts forever, but like, it's just, why are we trying to preserve the body that is no longer needed, you know? And it's just such a mess. It's just such a mess, I feel. I think our society doesn't really know how to deal with death. And I think that we are so far removed from the process of death that it's easy in some ways for us to kind of ignore that it's even a thing until it happens, until somebody you know, somebody close to you passes away, right? And there's also this this interesting thing that I've thought about recently, where I heard a story, somebody saying that when a female cat has babies and one of the babies dies, if she doesn't see the baby, if she doesn't see the baby's body that's dead, then she will forever be looking for her baby. She will go around the house, around all, wherever, for as long as I don't know, for a long time, looking for her baby because she thinks the baby's lost. And I think about that with us as humans, you know, this is a really hard thing to talk about. I hope you guys know. And some people may be thinking I'm absolutely insane right now, and that's fine. But I think that there is something important about seeing death. I think that there, like, it's such a, people think of it as such a dark, like, gross, weird thing, but I think there's something important about that. Like, when my parents died, I did not get to see their bodies. And I don't think, in a lot of ways, I don't think I wanted to. And I totally get that. If you're like, I don't want to see that, I get that. But I think that there's also something important about seeing the body of somebody that you love and knowing that their spirit is not in there anymore. And for me, when I saw Gypsy, it made me think, like, I started saying, like, where did you go? Where did you go? Because she wasn't there in her body anymore, but it's like, I don't think that the spirit just, like, doesn't exist anymore. That doesn't make sense to me. Something that was also interesting for me to observe is just the way that people around you react, or the things that people will say to try to make you feel better. And a big thing that I realized through all of these experiences, I mean, as I've said, I've dealt with quite a few different experiences of death and grief. And especially this time with Gypsy, I really realized that there's not really anything that you can say to make it better. When, you know, you have a friend or a family member that knows someone who passed away and is dealing with that grief, I think it's natural for us to want to, you know, try to make sense of it for them and try to make them feel better. And also because it's uncomfortable for all of us, I think, to deal with the thought of death and the reality of it. But I realized that a lot of the things that people would say to try to make it better didn't make it better. In a lot of ways, some made it worse, actually, because ultimately you have a loved one who you want to be here in the physical with you, and they're not. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I think ultimately we all do have to make peace and come to a place of acceptance with death. But it's also, like, it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to feel sad. You should feel sad when somebody you love is no longer here in the physical. Of course you miss them. Of course you want them to be there. But I think ultimately the best thing that you can do to support someone who's experiencing grief or navigating death is to just be there with them, just love them, just listen to them. Even if it's just sitting there with them in silence, I think that it's hard to see someone you love in such pain. And so a lot of us have a natural instinct to want to fix it. And it's something that, especially in this, like, it's something that you cannot fix. And so it's just interesting to see, you know, the things that come from people who mean well and who want to help. But, you know, for me, none of it was really helpful. And in a lot of ways, like, certain things made me feel worse. Like, for example, I had someone tell me, someone who I love dearly, I highly doubt that they will hear this episode, but if you're here, I love you, and I know that you mean well. But I had somebody tell me that, you know, because I didn't make it home in time. I didn't make it home before Gypsy passed away, and I really wanted to be there before that. And I had this person tell me that Gypsy didn't want me there. You know, like, her spirit, and it was meant to be like this. And you hear things like that from a lot of people. You know, this is, everything happens the way it's supposed to, right? And although I do believe that, although the higher part of me, the deeper part of me knows that that is true in many ways. I do believe that everything happens the way that it's supposed to. And sometimes we can't understand the reason in our human minds. But that is not what you want to hear. Like, when somebody you love passes away. And it was other things too. Like, for example, my partner's parents, they were like, well, you just got to be strong. And, you know, what would you do? What are you going to do when we die? Or how would you feel if you had a child that died? And it was very invalidating. It's like the idea of like, oh, it could always be worse. And yes, it can always be worse, but I can also acknowledge that this right now is hard and this sucks. And I think that people have a really hard time just letting you sit in the suckiness of what is right now. And sometimes we need that. And I think also we do these things because we feel uncomfortable with how sad or upset the other person is. And so in some ways, for some people, unconsciously, we're trying to make the person stop being upset because we feel uncomfortable. And that's not really fair to anyone. That's not a proper way to hold space for anyone. And I don't say any of this to shame anyone. Like, I know, I'm sure I've said things like that to people who are experiencing grief. It's just this experience has taught me so much. And I feel like I can be such a better space holder with this understanding that, like, it's okay to feel like shit for a little while. You know, it's not my job to fix it for someone else. It's not anyone else's job to fix it for me, especially something so deep as death. It's like when you want your loved one to be here with you and they're not here with you, there's nothing that anybody can do or say to fix that or make it better. And we just gotta allow ourselves and each other to go through this process in whatever way we need to. And everyone's process is gonna be different. Maybe those things would help somebody else, but I know for me and for other people that I've spoken with, like, it just doesn't actually help. So just something to keep in mind, especially if you know somebody who's going through grief or if you yourself are going through grief, like, it's okay to feel sad about it. You should. And it's a part of the process. But yeah, overall, I just think that death is an important part of life and death teaches you a lot about life. It teaches you how to be grateful. It teaches you how to not worry about all of the stupid shit that we worry about all the time. Like, if you have ever had someone close to you pass away, you know that it makes you really reflect on your life. It makes you reflect on what's important. How do I want to spend my time? And why am I here worrying about all of these stupid fucking things when I'm gonna die one day? One day, this body will be no more. One day, everyone I love, they will not be in these bodies anymore. And so it's like, when you really take that in and you think about that, it's like, man, why am I fucking fighting with my partner over the dishes? Why am I mad at this stranger in traffic and letting it ruin my day? Why am I, you know, not doing what I came here to do on this planet? Why am I not pursuing my dreams? Like, man, death has been so, so hard and so painful for me to witness and to experience. But it's been one of my biggest teachers. Like, I, just from all the things I've experienced, I tell people I love you so much that it's probably annoying. Like, I say I love you, like, all the time to people. And it's because I don't know when I'm going to be, like, I don't know when the day is going to come that I can't tell you that again. And I just think we all need to be reminded sometimes of the impermanence of this life. How much time have we wasted? How much time have I wasted, like, just doing bullshit, staying up late, smoking a lot of cannabis and just, like, zoning out and watching stupid movies? Like, and that's cool sometimes. Like, I still like to do that sometimes, for to be real. But, like, you know, like, how much time do we waste on things that aren't really important? How much time do we spend not talking to the ones that we love and connecting with them? You know, so I really just hope that this episode and this message can be a reminder to you to breathe in this moment. And to really acknowledge that this life is such a gift. And even though sometimes, like, I've had these thoughts even recently where it's like, man, if we're all just gonna die, like, what's the point in this? What's the point in being here and going through all this shit, right? And it's like, it's to experience. It's to have the experience. It's to feel as deeply as we can and to go through these different challenges and lessons and growth and evolution. Like, it's all beautiful. It's all perfect. And if you look at nature, like, nature will teach you everything you need to know about life and death, because things are dying all the time in nature, and things are also blooming and sprouting, and new seeds are being planted. Like, there is death, but there's also life. Life always continues. Life always keeps going, even after death. So it's like, is death even real? Is life even real? I don't know. Wait, that's a whole another esoteric topic we could skip over. let it teach you that this moment is fleeting, this life is fleeting. But what are you gonna do while you're here? You know? Even if, like, I guess, even if, you know, I used to consider myself atheist, so I can understand this perspective, right? Even if there is nothing else but this life, even if there is no afterlife, even if all you get is this life and this body, why would you want to spend it doing anything other than living your wildest dreams? You know, if this is the only fucking experience I get in forever, I want to make the best out of it. I want to be grateful. I want to be filled with gratitude and love and, like, have fun and laugh with my friends and be connected to people that I love and spend time with my family and not spend so much time numbing myself or dissociating or being worried about dumbass shit that I'm not gonna think about in years from now, you know? It's very humbling. It's very humbling to remember that, you know, this life, this body is not gonna last forever. It's very humbling. And before I close out this podcast, I wanted to share with you all a journal entry I made a few months ago, actually. This is from April 22nd, 2024. I've been thinking a lot about death lately. It's the first day of my bleed, the day before a Scorpio full moon. This seems fitting, as Scorpio is the sign of death, transformation, and rebirth. I feel like death is something I've always had to contend with. Must be all the Scorpio energy in my natal chart. I just feel that death is a hard thing for me to accept. Something about endings. I don't like them. Even though I know they're necessary. It's funny because oftentimes I don't care much for change either, and that's really all that death is. I wish that good things never had to end. I wish good people never had to die. Or animals. It's actually funny because I'm realizing that I don't want anyone to die because I love them. And I'm realizing that I don't want to die because I love this life. It's almost weird to say that because I've spent so many of my 29 years thus far wishing that I could just die. I wanted to die because I hated the way my life felt. I hated the way I felt about myself mostly. But here I am sobbing because I've realized that I don't want to die. Because I actually love this life. I don't want my friends or family or pets to die because I love them. I know that death is just a transition to another phase. I know that with death comes the birth of something new. I know that death is like a graduation, a completion of what was meant to occur in this phase, in this body, in this life. I know that everything in the universe must go through these cycles of birth and death. Somehow, despite this knowing, I still question it. I still ask God, why does it have to be this way? God responds, because without death, without endings, there would be no progress, no forward movement, no evolution. This is why one generation must die and pass along the torch to the next. Maybe this is just part of being human. Maybe it's because we have no memories of the space between death and birth. Because we don't remember what happens after we die or before we're born. Maybe if we did remember, it would be easier. All I know is I have to be grateful as much as possible. Because I won't always have this body, this life, these friends and family. So I have to remember to appreciate it while it's here. Each day the sun will set, but tomorrow it will rise again. Ayahuasca just came through and said to me, "It's okay, honey. Death is a part of life. There would be no life without death, because even life is the death of what came before life." Thank you for hearing me in this, and I hope that that journal entry could give you some perspective. It's interesting, the chain of events that happened and the contemplation of death that was happening long before all this even took place. I'm filled with a lot of gratitude. And even though it's been hard, it's taught me a lot. It's taught me so much. And I'm so grateful to Gypsy for that. I'm so grateful to her for everything that she's done for me, for all of the love and the snuggles and the fucking bites and the scratches, because there were a lot of those too. I'm grateful for all the lessons she taught me in her life, but I'm also grateful for all the lessons that she taught me in her death. And I will never forget, you know? And so I'm gently, slowly coming out of my cocoon. I guess this podcast is a representation of it. I did not plan for it to be this long, but it just came through. It just came through the way it did. So, yeah, I'm excited to explore this new next level version of myself, because I really feel like I'm in a different motherfucking timeline. I don't know what the fuck is going on. So I'm excited to explore this new version of myself and to share it with you all. And I really hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. I hope that you've learned something from it. I hope that if you've experienced death or loss or grief in your life, then I hope that this could help you. And if you have experienced that, I'm sending you so much love. And yeah, thank you for listening, and I hope that you have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your day. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, it would really help me out if you could leave me a nice review letting me know how you like the podcast so far. Thank you so much, and stay blessed.